Father, thank you. We're here again today to give you praise, to give you glory for how far you have taken us, and to learn at your feet how we can move to the next level, how we can move into that place of dominion that you created us for when you created us on the sixth day of creation. For it is written that you said, the Bible says that you created man, male and female, you created them, and you blessed them. And you said, go and take dominion. Be fruitful, be multiply. Take dominion, replenish the earth. We want to know, Lord, how to take dominion in every area of our lives. How to be fruitful and to multiply in everything that you have sent us to do. Blessed be your name, Lord. We give you praise and glory. Holy Spirit, we release ourselves to you to teach us. For you are the teacher. Teach us, Lord. Jesus, teach us. We are at your feet. Teach us this day how to overcome every obstacle so that we can be that man and woman that you have created us to be. To your name be glorified. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now today we are going to begin to deal with the strong men one by one. We're going to deal with the strong men one by one. As I said, there are only four strong men. How do we know? In Revelations 21, we looked at it. Four of them were judged. Not more than four. The Bible says the serpent, the false prophet, the beast, and then death and hell. So the four of them were judged, not more than that. So we know that there are only four of them that we're dealing with. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not that if there are more than that, God will not give us victory, because the Bible says all power belongs to him, and that Jesus Christ is the head of all principalities and powers. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
To defeat a strong man, he has to be exposed. He has to be exposed. You see, in any situation, any problem that we see, we need to discern which strong man is in charge. Once we discern which strong man is in charge, discernment is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's quickly pray that one. Lord, give me that gift of discernment. Holy Spirit, give me that gift of discernment. Let's pray. Lord, Holy Spirit, give me that gift of discernment. In the name of Jesus. You said the Bible says you give us spiritual gifts so that we can do the work of God, so that we can live as Christians, victorious Christians. Lord, we need that gift of discernment so that I will always know whether this is of God or this is of the devil, and so that I will always know which strong man is in charge. And I know you, once he is exposed, you will give me victory over him. Father, help me, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So in any situation, what we need to know is the strong man in charge. Jesus said, you cannot enter a strong man's house and take away his goods. Maybe what we're looking for is finances. You can't go and take your finances that he has locked up. Maybe what we are looking for is children. You cannot go and take your children that you have, he has locked up. Without what? Without first binding the strong man. Amen.
Amen.
When I was a missionary in Ghana, I was praying for a couple that we are looking for children, and I was taken in the spirit to one of the castles in Accra. I have not even been there physically. It's not even in Accra. It's on the coast. I just saw that it's along the coast. What they call castles in Ghana are the places which they used for slave trade. They will raid the slaves and bring them And from there is when they will sort them out. The castles are usually by the sea. So from that place, there will be a hole in the wall or something. From where they will transfer the slaves, the ship will be at the edge of the water. So from then, they will transfer them to the ship. So I had a dream that I went there. I knew I went there to pick up a child. So when I got there, I saw many children were sitting there on the floor, and a mighty snake had wrapped itself around them and was standing at the back with the head up. And I was just encouraged, don't worry, just pick up that child. So I picked up the child and I left. So this is what they are calling. By that time, we've been praying. No, I knew it had to do with the water spirit. We've been praying and praying and praying. So that strong man was bound. He could not do anything against me. He just stood there watching while I took away the child. Hallelujah. And that's what we're going to do for everything that we need to get from the Lord. Anything the strong man has taken, we're going to bind the strong man and deal with them. Now, the only thing is that each strong man has specific weapons in scripture that you will use. You can't use this weapon for this strong man against that strong man. It just doesn't work out that way. Amen.
Amen.
It just doesn't work out that way. It has to be a specific one, and it's written in scripture. That is why we have to search it out. That's what they call searching the scriptures. Searching the scriptures. And it is why we need the spirit of discernment. It's why we need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Because He's the one who will show us. He's the one who will show us where these things are. We cannot search it out ourselves. Amen.
Amen.
So the first one we're going to deal with is the spirit of the Antichrist. Number one strong man is Baal. B-A-A-L. It's also called Beelzebub. It's also called the Antichrist spirit. And in Daniel 7, it's called the little horn. It's also called the little horn. So that tells us that he can be a horn. A horn is something that prevents you getting where you want to go. You come there, you just stand in the way and say you can't pass. Amen.
Amen.
Now in scripture, he's referred to as the chief of the devils. Luke 11:15. The Bible says, but some of them said, he casted out devils by Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. So that's how we know that he's called the chief of the devils. He's the one that we usually deal with first. Now, the Antichrist spirit is called the Antichrist because the main work he does is to set out always to oppose the promises and the works of God. Anything God wants to do, it must stand in the way and say, no, it's not possible. And he seeks to change or delay the manifestation of the will of God and his purposes on earth. Amen. Let's open for us there, Zechariah 1 talks about horns. I'm not sure if it's Zechariah 1. Zechariah 1 talks about horns and how a horn stands in the way. I hope it's Zechariah 1. Let's check from 18. What does it say?
Then lifted I up my eyes and saw, and behold, four horns.
Four horns.
And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be this? And he answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord showed me four carpenters.
Uh-huh. Those are angels. Yes.
Then said I, what come this to do? And he spoke, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah,
mm-hmm.
so that no man did lift up his head.
Mm-hmm.
But these are come,
yes.
to fry them.
To fray them.
To fray them. To cast out the horns of the Gentiles, uh-huh. which lifted up their horns
mm-hmm.
over the land of Judah mm-hmm. to scatter it.
Amen.
Amen.
So that is what horns do. I told you the Antichrist is also called the little horn. So what do horns do? They come, number one, to scatter. If this is the place God wants that person to be, the Antichrist will say, no, it cannot be there. So you see somebody losing his job, somebody losing, going from one place to another place, just being scattered from where he's supposed to be. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. Especially if that is the place that God wants that person to be. We scatter them from there. So number one, to scatter. Number two, he does not want people to lift up their heads. Doesn't want people to lift up their heads. Every promise of God, all those things that God said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all these things will be added to you. All those things are to lift up our heads as Christians. Amen?
Amen.
To make us shine as children of God. We must have our basic needs met, but you'll find that a lot of Christians are struggling. Their heads are not lifted up. We need to be fruitful and multiply, not only in the work of our hands, but in our bodies. You'll find that if you look at a lot of great men of God in Nigeria, the great ones, I mean, they really, many of the prominent ones, you'll find that they didn't have children for a long time. Bishop Idahosa didn't have children for 7 years. Dr. D.K. Olukoya for 15 years, and he's only had just one. You find that most of them had delay in one thing or the other. So it is that Antichrist that said they will not lift up their heads. So that people will be saying, hey, if you know so much about it, why are you teaching me? Why are you teaching me? Go and sort out your own first. Physician, heal thyself. Just what they told Jesus on the cross. If you be the Son of God, why don't you come down? No, why don't you come down now? And you, they crucify you with us together, and you are there. Hey, are you the Son of God? Doesn't want us to lift up our heads, wants our head to be hanging with reproach. Then the third thing we learn there is that it is the horns of the Gentiles. It is a horn of the Gentiles. To let you know that it's a satanic horn. Because the Bible talks about, and my horn shall be lifted up like the horn of the unicorn. Aha. So that one is a godly, divine horn. But this one is a horn of the Gentiles. That you say, no, they can't pass. No, they can't have children. No, they can't have money. No, they can't have a job. I will make sure they don't. But God, as I said, for every strong man, there is a particular weapon. In this case, the weapon against the horn is the carpenters. Those are angelic beings. You'll find that, when we do the teaching on angels, you find that there are angels doing different things. The angels of healing, the carpenter angels, the engineer angels, they are charioteers angels that ride chariots of war and do all sorts of things like that. These ones, they fray. When you talk about fraying, that means whether with chisel or with hammer or with saw, they will so beat the horn and so cut it into pieces, and so do it maybe like a mama's grater. They will grate it so that you can't put it together again, ever again. That is how to fray, and then you cast it out. So once it is out of the way, the person can come into that place that God has purposed for them to be. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, What in delaying manifestation, in fact, he tries to change or delay the manifestation of God's will. We've talked about the delay. He also seeks to change the manifestation of God's will. He says so in Daniel 7. We'll look at it in a minute. It wants to change the manifestation of God's will. For instance, if a woman is looking for a husband, and the devil sees that, I can't stop her, because many men are coming, they are coming. You know, there are some cases where no man will even come. So when he tries to stop the men from coming, and he sees that he cannot stop them, he says, okay, let her marry the wrong one. Let her marry the wrong one. And you see, marrying the wrong man is worse than not being married. It's better not to be married than to marry the wrong man or the wrong woman. So the Bible says that he seeks to change and delay the manifestation of God's will and purposes on earth. He seeks to wear out the patience of the saints by causing a delay in the fulfillment of their God-given promises. And sometimes it will seek to abort it. Abort the breakthroughs. And say, oh, let me cuckoo. In that way, our faith, that's why the Bible calls it a trial of our faith. Because it's just trying our faith. Because our faith, the faith of a Christian in the living God, is the greatest force on earth. It moves mountains. That's what Jesus said. The faith of a child of God in his or her heavenly Father is the greatest force on earth. Why? Because it causes the forces of heaven to move on your behalf. And God created everything. He created everything. There's nothing he cannot move out of his way. There's nothing he cannot change. And so in trying out, the Bible then calls it the trial of our faith. So, in trying our faith, we need to be very careful. We need to be very, very careful, because a trial of our faith should actually make us to love God more and move closer to God, rather than get discouraged or be discouraged and be unhappy. We need to know that if God promised this thing, then he's going to do it. We hang on to our promises and we will not give in to the intimidation of the Antichrist, because God's will and purposes can never be thwarted. Can never be. And let me tell you, the devil just seeks to change the times and laws. He can't change it if we stand. Some people will tell you, oh, this is God's plan B. And plan A was, so this is plan B. God doesn't have plan A, plan B. Because he is completely secure in his willingness and in his ability to move mountains, to make sure that what he needs to be done is done. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you look at the history of the world, God will change even a government because of something he needs to do. Now, it has been purposed. let's look at Jesus Christ, for instance, the crucifixion, that the atonement work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It has been purposed that Jesus Christ must bleed from the head, from the hands, from the feet, from the side. It has all been prophesied from beginning, through scripture. Now, those ones were the person that said all this more than anyone else is David in the Psalms, as well as Psalm 22 and one of the other Psalms. He talked about, they pierced my hands and feet. He said it. Everything that happened to him in the book of Micah, he talked about him riding to Jerusalem, riding on a horse. Your king will come from Bethlehem, riding on a horse. Now, why should Jesus be born in Bethlehem? That thing relentlessly came to pass. Why? This is thousands and thousands and thousands of years later. When he will be born was when one Caesar decided to do census. And when they want to do census, you must go back to your village. So, that one came to pass. Okay, now they must pierce his hands and feet. What kind of death can somebody die that they will pierce his hands and feet? The only one is crucifixion. And God did it in such a way. In fact, he has shown it by the image he showed to Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 2, chapter 2. That many kingdoms are going to come, and the last one that is going to come will be the feet of iron and clay. All right? They showed this image. The head was gold. They said, oh, that's you, Nebuchadnezzar. The chest and the arms were silver. They said, oh, that is the Medo-Persian Empire. Oh, the abdomen up to the thighs were brass. Oh, that is the Grecian Empire, the Greece. Then the feet, you see, was the Roman Empire. It was made of clay and iron. Why? Because the Romans were conquerors, so they were iron. But everywhere they go, they would add the gods of the people that they conquered. They would add them to their gods. So they were a multiplication of gods. And that's the problem they had. And then you must worship Caesar. So that's the problem they had with the Jews. They said, no, we're not worshiping any other god. We're worshiping our own. He's the only true living God. We're not worshiping any other god. Now, so when the Romans now came, so Donnie, in that image, Nebuchadnezzar also saw a stone cut without hands just come and hit the image on the foot, which is the weakest place. Iron mixed with clay. And the whole thing came tumbling down. Then that stone began to grow and grow and grow and grow, and it became a big mountain. That's what Nebuchadnezzar saw. And God relentlessly brought all this to pass over the centuries and made sure that the time Jesus came was during the Roman Empire, during which crucifixion was being used. And so anything that you can imagine, God brought to pass his will relentlessly. So as far as I have studied and seen the way God deals with man, he doesn't have plan A or plan B. Because somebody who has plan A or plan B is because they say, I may not be able to do it, so let's have plan B. Or they may not cooperate with me, so let me have plan B. God is able to make anyone cooperate with him. And if you will not cooperate with God, he will change you. He's created everybody. He will change that person. So let us know that today, that the Antichrist is just putting us through a trial of faith. According to, I think, 1 Peter talked about a trial of faith. And during that time, God is building up our character. Let's look at Romans 5. No, it's Hebrews 5. And read something that must happen. This is what must happen when we are waiting and our trial and our faith is being tried. It's the only way we can put the Antichrist to shame. And it's the only way we can please God so that whatsoever he has promised, he is able to bring it to pass. I'm not sure whether it's... You open Romans 5. Let me see. All this part is not in my notes. So see? Yeah, open your Hebrews 5. Let's see. Which one is open now? Read it. Let me. From 1. Yes. What does it say? Mm-hmm.
Therefore, being justified by faith.
That's the one I want. Sorry. That's the scripture.
We have peace with God.
So, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So, now we are born again. We have peace with God. Then, what happens? Go on.
Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
By whom also we have access by faith into the grace. Into the grace where we stand.
Okay. So, we have that grace that will make us stand no matter what we go through. Alright? Once we are justified by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ, God releases the grace that will make us stand. Then what will happen?
And rejoice in hope of the victory of God.
Yes. Yes, go on.
And not only so.
So we must always rejoice because we must know that once we have that grace and we are justified, we will have what? Victory. We will have victory. Yes?
But we glory in tribulation.
Okay, now. So even though we're standing in that grace, we're standing in the justification, tribulations will come. Why? Because the devil is not happy. What's wrong with them? Why are they jumping? Why are they happy? Why are they think they will always have victory? I will deal with them. Yes? But we glory what?
In tribulations.
We glory in tribulations.
Also knowing that tribulation worketh patience.
Can you see? Tribulations is used by God to work out what?
Patience.
Patience in us. As we wait on God. That's why they call it waiting on God. As we wait on God, we are learning patience. And my people say, Suru Lere in Yoruba, that patience always profits. There is profit in patience. You just be patient. And then what? Yes?
And patience?
Yes.
Experience.
Experience. So we get to know God better. We have a better experience of God. In fact, that's why I'm able to teach all this. Because I've gone through it many times. That's why I can assure people. During my training with the Lord, no Bible school can teach you all these things. It is experience of God. You have to experience God yourself to be able to testify of Him and to be able to make others stand when they are in tribulation. Yes?
And experience hope.
And experience hope. So that hope will always be there that I will get this thing. Oh, I will get it. Oh, I will get that thing. Well, the psalmist said, if it not that I had hope in you, Lord, I would have died in my tribulation. But that hope will keep us going. He said, no, me, I won't commit suicide. No, I won't give up. No, I have hope in God. Yes?
And hope maketh not ashamed.
Yes.
Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost.
Once we have hope in God that He's going to do this thing, the Holy Spirit will make us to love God better. He will bring love into our hearts. Now, there's another, the place where they put patience, when we look at New King James, they said, it builds in us character. Character. This is what builds up Christian character in a Christian, in a person. As you are waiting, you have that Christian character, that gentle meekness, the way they call brokenness. You are just broken. Nothing. If you are hungry, you still wait. This is what I have to do. You will never fall. You will never. Why? Because you just hold on to God. You will never fail. You will never let go of faith. Even when faith is weak, hope keeps on holding on. And that's what builds up the character of a woman like Hannah, such that she was able to raise a child that became the greatest. One of the greatest prophets, of which they said his word never fell to the ground, of which they said at some point that God spoke in his ear that this time tomorrow I'm bringing a man, his name is Saul, of the tribe of Benjamin, anointing, he shall be the king. God spoke in his ear. He's one of the greatest. He was the first judge of Israel. After him came all the judges. He used to go about, he built Bible schools, and the Bible says he used to go about, you know, preaching. He anointed the first king of Israel. In fact, the first two kings. A great man like that. Who trained her? The mother. Now, I'll tell you why I'll say it's the mother that trained him. Now, to begin with, the Bible says that she, after she had weaned him, she now took him to the house of Eli. Alright? Good. In Israel, in those days, they'd wean a child by the age of 4. So she was like 4 when she took him to the house of Eli. Alright? And he began to live with him for the rest of his life until Eli died. Now, who trained that child? The way we know who trained that child is this. Number one, Mrs. Eli did not train her own children. Her own children did not grow up to be good children. The Bible calls them, they said they were children of Belial. Imagine the children of the chief priest. So it's not Eli that trained them. Oh, is it Elkanah, his father, that trained Samuel? No. Then why is it that the other children of Elkanah, we never had anything about them? Nothing about them. It has also been scientifically proven that what you put into a child before the age of 4 can never be taken away from him. If you teach him before he's 4, that actions and reactions occur in this world, though. There's action and reaction in this world. What you sow, you will reap. If he never learns it by the age of 4, a sense of responsibility, that's a sense of responsibility, he will never learn it again. He will never learn it. It will be very difficult to learn it. And therefore, God trained, during that time, God was training Hannah and trained her to trust him so much that when it was time to give the child away without having another one, she gave him away. I mean, it didn't matter to Elkanah anyway. Let's face it, he has other children. But Hannah needed to give away that child. And what did they say? God gave him 5 more children. Hallelujah. Amen. So that is God. He doesn't have plan A or plan B. The Antichrist can never win. Once we don't, you see, there are two sides to this relationship. There's a part of God and there's our own part. We must hold on. Once we hold on, it is the faith with which we hook onto God's power. It's like putting in a socket. This fan is useless without us plugging it into the socket. The socket is the faith by which we hang on to God's promises. Amen.
Amen.
Now let's look at Daniel 7, where it talks about the Antichrist. Daniel 7:25. Well, let's read 8, where they talked about, called him the little horn. So there's this beast, and it had 10 horns. It had 10 horns, and the Bible says that it was destroying, it was biting, it was killing, it was maiming, it was just misbehaving. That's the fourth of the horns that Daniel saw in his dream, and each beast represented a particular kingdom. So there's this last one, which of course is the Antichrist. So what happened? It has 10 horns. So verse 8.
I consider the horns. And behold, there came up among them another little horn.
Yes.
Before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots.
Yes.
And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things.
So that's another thing that the Antichrist does. He likes to boast. We're still going to look at that. He likes to boast. This is what I've done before. I'm the one that did this. I'm the one that did that. I'm the one that did that. So let's go down to 25. What then happened? Verse 25.
And it shall speak great words against the Most High.
Yes, it likes to blaspheme God. It will tell you, oh, maybe you say you are a Christian. Why is your matter like this? Is blaspheming God to you? Now, once they say, Shebi, you say you are a Christian. If thou be the Son of God, oh yeah, jump down from the temple. As if there's anywhere that says we should be jumping down from high mountains. Speaking great words against the Most High, yes.
And shall wear out the saints of the Most High.
Can you see? By causing delay, yes.
And think to change times and laws.
He wants to change times and laws because God has a particular time that he wants to do anything in his world, in his universe. He always has the time that will do whatever he wants to do. The Antichrist wants to change that time. Then God always has a law that guides whatever he wants to do. He may say, okay, this time the normal law is that children are born by the interaction of a man and his wife. Then they will have a child. But when his own son was coming into this world, he had a different law. He had a different law. That's the one that's going to become the entity that is going to become the Son of God. The Bible says that he was like a holy thing that was just placed in her womb. It had nothing to do with her. It had nothing to do with the husband because she was still a virgin. And the Bible told us that till she had her first born son, the husband did not have any physical relations with her. So there was a particular law that brought the Messiah, and that is that a virgin will conceive and have a child. So she conceived him as a virgin and brought him to pass and brought him out as a virgin. Amen.
Amen.
There are many women that God would want to give special children to. So there's a law that guides this. There was a particular story that Gio Olukoya told and said, this girl was supposed to be a... God told him, the girl came for counseling. And he said, take care of her. She's a great woman. She's going to give birth to some great children. So she was coming for counseling, for discipleship. You know, that's when the church had just started and he had time to do things like that. He said suddenly she started being tempted by her friends. You know, they would tempt them over different things and say, oh, this thing is happening to you because you are a virgin. That thing is happening to you because you are a virgin. You only need to try it once and you'll be fine. So she was being tempted and she told him and he said, no, you must keep yourself because there's a particular work that you are supposed to, there are some special children you are supposed to have. But the Antichrist changed that law because she was supposed to have this, she was supposed to meet with her husband as a virgin and have those children as a virgin. But she lost her virginity She immediately became pregnant. Something happened and they had to remove her womb. And so, several months later, after a while, she started having a dream that four men in white garments will be looking at her and crying and pointing to her and crying and pointing to her and crying. The Lord told the Jew, he said, tell her, those are the four children I was to give the her. They are supposed to be great prophets. But now I cannot give them to her. I have to give somebody else. So that is the Antichrist. He changed the law. He has changed the law that was to bring those children into this world. Let's pray. Let's say, Lord, I will not cooperate with the Antichrist.
I will not cooperate with the Antichrist.
He will not change my times and laws.
He will not change my times and laws.
For my breakthroughs.
For my breakthroughs.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay, so we're still on it. Changing times and laws, verse 25. Yes. And they shall
be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time.
Good. So in whatever temptation and trials, there is a time reframe for every temptation and trial. You see, we only need to wait. Do you see that? It shall be, God is the one who said, okay, give them into his hand, the saints, given into the hand of the Antichrist for a particular time. He said it. He said, the children of Israel shall be in Egypt for 400 years. He said they shall be in Babylon for 70 years. So every trial, every temptation has a time frame. We only need to wait. And what will happen? 26.
But the judgment shall sit.
Judgments are set.
And they shall take away his dominion.
Yes.
To consume and to destroy it unto the end.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we can see that every trial has a time frame. And God himself, they didn't say he sent an angel. Judgment shall sit. Who is the judge? God himself, the Ancient of Days. Because that's what this verse, this whole chapter, Daniel 7, is all about. The angel, Ancient of Days, coming down to judge, to sit in judgment on the earth against four beasts that were troubling the earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says that promotion does not come from the east, from the west, or from the south. That God is the church judge. He puts one down and raises up another. So when the time comes, God will come and he will sit down and he will judge. He will handle it himself. He won't send an angel. He won't send a pastor. He will handle it himself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, we talk about, we have said it that, as we have read, they said it likes to, he has a mouth speaking great things. Likes to boast of his past deeds. I did this, I did that. And he'll be blaspheming God in the process. Where was God when I did this, I did that? Now let's look at a typical boast of Baal in Isaiah 36. This is Sennacherib. Isaiah 36 from 13. Isaiah 36, 13 to 20. Now, you, as we are reading these things, you will see that we are looking at a typical person that was possessed by the spirit of the Antichrist. This is this person called Rabshakeh. He was sent by Sennacherib to go and tell Hezekiah, the king of Israel, that look, I am coming. In fact, he has besieged him and said, we are coming to take over your kingdom. So this is his CSO, I mean, the chorus, the chief of army staff, that was not talking. From 13, what did he say?
Then Rabshakeh,
yes,
stood and cried with a loud voice into the Jews' language.
In the Jewish language,
yes.
He was speaking the Jewish language. So all the Jews around were here. And everybody would be quaking,
yes. And said, hear ye the words of the great king, the king of Assyria.
Yes.
Thus said the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you,
yes,
for he shall not be able to deliver you. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah,
yes,
for thus said the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me.
And eat. Come and bribe me, yes.
And eat ye every one of his vine.
And I will leave you alone to eat of your vine, yes.
And every one of his fig tree,
yes.
And drink ye every one the waters of his own
cistern. That means I won't trouble you again. Once you make, just give me everything. Now, the Antichrist is not even looking for ordinary things. He's looking for our very salvation. Some people, you see yourself in the dream, and somebody comes and say, give me that your white dress you are wearing. It's fighting for your salvation. Give me that, you know, take your, maybe there's a white cloth, you want to take it away, or your mantle, take it away. Your very salvation is not looking for small things. Yes, go on, 17.
Until I come and take you away to the land like you,
like your own
land. A land of corn and wine.
Yes.
A land of bread and vineyards.
Now imagine that after you have bribed him and he has said he will leave you alone to eat in your own vineyard, to make to drink your waters from your cistern and eat of your own fig tree. After he has said that, he will still come and take that person captive. So what is the point? No, what is the point of serving the devil? That's typical devil for you. Yes, go on, 18.
Beware lest Hezekiah persuade your saying, the Lord will deliver us. Had any of the gods of the nation deliver his land out of the hands of the king of Assyria?
Imagine, he's boasting. Yes.
Where are the gods of Hamath and
Arphaxad?
Where are the gods of
Sepharvaim?
And have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who are they among all the gods of these lands that have delivered their land out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand?
Amen. That's it. Can you imagine that kind of boast against the Lord Most High? Against the Lord Most High, he's boasting and telling him. What he doesn't know is that the gods, small g, of Hamath and Arphad, and the gods of Zevaim, they are different from our own God. Our own God is the one with the big G. All those places that he took captive, you tell the Antichrist, I'm sorry, all those people that you took captive, they don't know God. My own God is different. My own God is different. And he will surely deliver us out of your hands. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, there's also one thing about Baal. He performs false healing. He's the God that performs false healing. And he seeks to dethrone and replace God in people's hearts by performing false healing. Now, if you are not careful, if a healing is taking too long, We can say, let's bring you this thing, and let's do this. Let's see one Baba over there, and now this is what happened to the king, to King Ahaziah. 2 Kings 1, verses 2 and 3. That's what happened to the King Ahaziah. You see, this is a king, can you imagine? The king of Israel. A whole king of Israel. What did he do when he was sick?
2 Kings.
Chapter 1, verses 2 and 3.
The more rebel against Israel after the death of
verses 2 and 3.
And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice.
And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice.
Lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. Mm-hmm. And he sent messenger and said unto them, go inquire from Beelzebub.
Can you see?
The God of Ekron.
Beelzebub, the God of Ekron.
Whether I shall recover of this disease. Mm-hmm. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messenger of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that ye go to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron?
Amen. Now, that tells us that this is a king of Israel. The king himself. Because he has heard about that God, that he does healing. So go and inquire. Me too. I want he fell down. He's been sick. Now, the other thing, the third thing that the Antichrist does is that he does signs and wonders. Baal, he does signs and wonders. Especially using fire. The Antichrist, he competes, that's wanting to compete with God. Because we talk about our God, when God appears, you see fire. So he too will say, yes, I will do. Why is he not performing with water? Why is he not performing with the wind? Because he's the Antichrist. He is competing with God and he wants to resist God. He wants to resist our faith in God. So he performs false signs and wonders with fire. And that was why God made Elijah to confront the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Why? Because they have always been doing signs and wonders with fire. But on that day, God shows them who is in control of fire and who created fire. So they did everything that they could do, but fire did not come that day. Fire did not come. But when Elijah called fire, fire came down. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You read all that in 1 Kings 18, 19 to 39. 1 Kings 18, 19 to 39. And why did God do that? He wanted the children of Israel to see and make up their minds which God they will serve. And that's what Elijah said. He said, can you see now? O ye of Israel, gather here. If Baal is God, you will serve him from now on. If Jehovah is God, you will serve him from now on. So let us see which one. So when the prophets of Baal could not bring fire down, and he brought fire, and Elijah called on his own God, and fire came down, they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Amen.
Amen.
And that day, they destroyed all the prophets of Baal. And that day, after 3 years of drought, rain fell. A great rain fell. If you read that 1 Kings 18 down, you see that was the day that the same Elijah now prayed and a great rain fell. Amen.
Amen.
The greatest thing that can happen to a nation is to have people that worship Baal. in that nation. And that is a problem that Nigeria has. That's the problem that Nigeria has. It's a very violent spirit. You see that there's violence everywhere. People are killing each other for no reason. Two people are just now arguing with themselves. Before you know it, one kills the other. One takes, there was a video, one just took a stone, knocked it on the head of one, and he was dead. Two men, another video, we saw it on WhatsApp. Two men in a compound, living with their wives in that compound. One wife had a problem with this wife. Then this one came to fight for his wife. The other husband came. And they start fighting each other. After fighting with the hands, they now started fighting with anything they see from the ground. They were bleeding and people are trying to stop them. They refused to be stopped. And they were fighting and fought until they killed each other. This is a true story. It happened in Nigeria. So what do we do? How do we unmask Baal? We now want to unmask him. Want to unmask him. What are the manifestations of Baal? In the dream, you will see it as a furiously angry entity with manifestations of fire here and there. Either it's vomiting fire or it there may be smoke all over it, or there may be smoke everywhere, or black. Even his skin will be black because of the smoke, and he's angry and everywhere is black. That is the spirit of Baal. Violent tempers, those who are possessed by violent tempers. It's an entity that uses fire, explosives to fight. Manifests as a bird or anything flying in the spirit realm. It is called the prince of the power of the air. It is the spirit behind what Osama bin Laden did. He took 3 aeroplanes, crashed one into Twin Tower of in New York, crashed the second into Twin Tower. Into the Twin Tower in the New York Trade Center. Then he tried to crash the third one into the Pentagon. But the people on the plane struggled and it crashed in a field near the place. That's the spirit behind. It is actually the spirit behind Islam. We're just trying to talk. You know, it is the spirit behind Islam. Violence, they use violence for everything. They use bombs. That's why bomb blast. Bombs everywhere. Fire. They set things on fire. You are fighting somebody. Before you know it, they will douse the person with petrol and set him on fire. That's what they did to Deborah in Sokoto. Men gathered around a girl, a university girl, killed her and set her on fire. It's the spirit of Baal. They call it the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians 2:2. It's a spirit that works in children of disobedience. Let me read it. He said, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 2:2. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Disobedience to everything. Disobedience to God. Disobedience to... They see nothing. They see nothing in telling lies. Nothing in doing corruption. To them, corruption is not corruption. In this nation, no. They're just disobedience to the laws of the land. It is a rulership spirit. It's a rulership spirit. And therefore, it likes to be in rulers, in leaders. It likes leadership position. And therefore it controls armies, controls horses and chariots. In modern times, horses and chariots are just any manner of vehicles. Cars, they like cars. You said they went to somebody's house. You go to, you see so many cars, and somebody say, "Ah, is he selling cars?" No, they love cars. They like to, you know, accumulate cars. If you see somebody that person, all manner of aeroplane. They will have so many. They will have so many jets. You know, so many private jets, war engines. You know the terrorists, they use motorcycles. It's the same thing, motorbikes. All these things have, they will say it has horsepower and it has a chassis. So it's the same as horse and chariot. It's the same as what. Now, they also use weapons of war, notable bows and arrows, guns, explosives, both in the spirit and in the physical. Bows and arrows. A gun is just a bow and an arrow. That's all. It's just a bow that shoots arrows forward. They use explosives. That's why they like to do bomb blasts. They like to do suicide bombing. Aha. Now, Baal spirit is also known as Pharaoh spirit or Herod spirit, the spirit of Pharaoh or the spirit of Herod. Why? Because it possessed those two. No, they're not two. It possessed, it was personified in the Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. And also in all the Herods, there are five Herods. It was inside all of them. And they did things that showed that that was the spirit that possessed them. Now there's a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. And he's a liar. He cannot tell me that he didn't know Joseph. Because the Egyptians were very meticulous about their history. They have temples. Maybe we call it libraries, where they chisel their history on walls. They chisel it on walls. So unless you break it down, the history is there now. Of course, you know of Joseph. He just felt, what's going on? These people are becoming too much. I mean, we brought you in and you forgot the good that Joseph did at that time. That's how they are. You cannot do them a favor. They will forget. They don't care. They have no spirit of gratitude. Now, okay, now, so this Pharaoh was just arrogant and didn't want to have any regard for any other dignitary but himself. Didn't want to have any, well, Joseph anyway, he was worshipping another god. So we don't want to, no, we have to do something about them. They have become too many and they have become too strong. They were turned into, he turned them into slaves. Even though he turned them into slaves, you know, they were still waxing strong. And it is that spirit that pushed him. That pushed him to say, slay all the boys. Kill all of them. All the babies, baby boys born by the Hebrews. Kill all of them. Because he said, if our enemies should come to war now against us, there are men who join that. What kind of reasoning is that? If not that he has been taken possession of by the spirit of Antichrist. Exodus 1, verses 8 and 22. Exodus 1, verses 8 and 22. You see all that there. He said, now there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. It's not that he didn't know him. He doesn't want to acknowledge him. Because acknowledging Joseph means you're acknowledging his God that has kept all these people for 400 years, and they have, even though they will turn them into slaves, they continue to prosper and to do well. So, and then Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, you shall cast into the river. And every daughter you shall save alive. We're later going to look at the fact that these Antichrist spirits, they come together, they join together. Alright, they network. Because in Ezekiel 29, if we look at Ezekiel 29, you will see that God said, you Pharaoh, I'm against you. You Pharaoh, I'm against you. You, that dragon that lieth in the midst of his rivers, that says, this river is mine, I have made it for myself. In that place, when Baal combines with water spirit, the snake, it becomes the dragon. You can see that even there it is boasting. Say, this river is mine, I've made it for myself. And when you talk about river in prophetic language, it's not talking about about river, it's talking about the whole nation. This nation is mine, the Milokon. I've made it for myself. So, that telling them to throw their sons into that river, he was what? Sacrificing them to his God. The dragon was sacrificing them to his God. Now, as the Antichrist, he contended with God's rod in the hands of Moses. You see, it's a manifestation of the Antichrist. This is a manifestation of the Antichrist. He said, God said, Moses went to him and said, we have met with our God, and he said, let my people go that they may serve me. Ah, he said, who is that God? I know not that God. So he was contending with that rod. You see, God said, take that rod and go. The word of God is also called a rod. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It's the word of God that comforts us in our tribulations. So he said, Exodus 5, 1 and 2. Exodus 5, 1 and 2. So he contended with that rod. Because when they put the rod down and it became a snake, he called his own magicians too. His own magicians. He said, oh yeah, can you do this? They said, yes, sure. But what happened? Moses' rod swallowed up his own rod. So God will always show himself strong whenever we are facing the Antichrist, so long as we hold on to the word that he gave us. Have you opened Exodus 5?
Yes.
1 and 2.
Okay. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus said the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go.
Amen. Now that's chapter 5, and it went on chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. At a point, he said, okay, you can go, but don't take your children. So he said, no, we'll take all our children. And of course, you know what that means. You can be born again, but you won't have children. Mm-hmm. And don't take all your flock. That means you can be born again, but you will not be rich. Then said, okay, don't go to... Then Moses said, no, we're taking all our flock because we don't know which of our flocks, our animals, God will say we should sacrifice unto him. Then say, okay, you can go, but don't go too far. That means don't go too far and too deep with God, so that somebody can quickly backslide and come back to Egypt. And so, and he said, no, we're going to go far. We'll go. We don't know where we say we should stop. We're going far with him. That is the Antichrist. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, God's rod not only swallowed the rods of Egypt, he brought down 10 terrible plagues on Egypt, by which he was targeting each one of their gods. All those things that God brought upon them, the plagues of the frogs, they used to worship frogs, the plagues of the lice on their bodies, they used to worship lice. The covering the sun, no light for 3 days, they used to worship the moon. Destroying their fields, their farms, their crops in the farm with plagues of the hail. They have the god of agriculture. And the greatest one, their greatest god, is their firstborn. And he slew all their sons, including all the sons of the slaves, the firstborn, everyone. Then he had to say, now, you can go. So God brought them out. No matter what that tells us is that even if God has to bring down a whole dynasty to set his children free, he will do it. He will do it. He will bring them down. Now, the other thing that happened is that the magician kept on repeating the plagues. They kept on repeating the plagues. Pharaoh would say, oh yeah, you do it. Until it came to the frogs, they brought forth frogs. When it was time to send the frogs back, they could not send it back. Then they told Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. This is the finger of God. We want to pray, Lord, release your finger into Nigeria, into our lives and into Nigeria, and do that which no magician can do in this nation and in our lives. Do that which no other God can do in this nation. Let everybody know in our lives and in this nation that this is the finger of God. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, Lord. You are the same God that brought down your finger when you wanted to set your children free from the Egyptians, Lord, from the hand of Pharaoh, from the hand of the Antichrist. You brought down your finger. Send your finger into Nigeria. Send your finger into our lives. Do that which no other God can do, which no magician can gainsay, which no magician can copy. Do it, Lord, in our lives.
Raise up your finger.
Raise it up in this nation, into our lives. Do that which no man can do for us in our lives, oh God, in our families. Send down your finger into our families. And do that which no man can do in our lives, which no one can do in our lives. Do it, Lord, and let your name be glorified. Blessed be your name, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.